There are several internet sites that are biased, dishonest, and untrustworthy. When you see something from these sites, it's best to ignore them. Look at what you're reading and then look at who put it up there. They're either lies or twisting of the truth. Among them are HuffPost, Vox, that's V-O-X, Politico, NBC, The Guardian, Business Insider, and Vanity Fair. Obviously, there are others, but these are the main culprits. I admit that I am old school. I yearn for the America I grew up in. It was not perfect, I'll readily admit that. Born in 1942, I attended segregated schools. Not because I chose to, but because a racist Democrat Party considered black people to be inferior and fought to keep them from learning to read, to write, or to vote. At the time of my birth, our country was 23 years away from civil rights legislation that created an integrated society. That part of America I would change if we could turn back time, but time marches on. The only thing we can do now is treat each other with mutual respect and learn to forgive the past. Not forget the past. We should never forget the past. We learn from it. But to forgive. None of us are without sins to be forgiven. God forgives us. We should do no less for others. Having said that, I still remember a more pleasant time in America. I hope you'll bear with me as I revisit a time when morality meant something and compare with where we are today. I'll share these random thoughts with you. There was a time when people obeyed the law and appreciated those who put their lives on the line each day to protect us. Today, just one misdeed by a law officer results in the entire law enforcement community being attacked. Calls to defund the police roll off the lips of angry mobs as if banishing the police would end crime. New York, Seattle, Portland, Detroit, Washington, D.C., Chicago, and other Democrat-led cities are being destroyed. Weekend shootings in Chicago continue to increase, as well as in New York. On July 21st of this year, the largest shooting incident in Chicago history saw a vehicle drive by a funeral home and open fire on mourners. 17 people were shot. It is telling that some of those at the funeral went there armed as well, apparently expecting a retaliatory attack, and they returned fire against the vehicle occupants. When was the last time you attended a funeral carrying a firearm? These were not white supremacists firing on black people. This was obviously black gang-related. A few days earlier, another black man had been shot by rival gangs, and this was a revenge attack. We're not talking about Somalia or Syria. This is a major American city whose history of black Democrat leadership has left it in shambles. The current mayor is a pathetic little woman. Chicago's black population has been a shooting gallery for black thugs for decades. President Trump has been in office less than 4 years. And this light-headed mayor, named Lightfoot, wants to blame Donald Trump for the chaos in her city. It's the same in Seattle, Portland, and other major Democrat-run cities. In Portland, the mayor stands by and does nothing, as riots have occurred there for almost 2 months and show no signs of abating. The President of the United States has offered help to these embattled cities, but the Democrat mayors reject it. They do nothing to stop the chaos themselves, and politics keep them from accepting the President's help. Democrats vowed to destroy a lawfully elected president of this country from the moment he took office, getting back power into their hands, into the hands of a socialist Democrat Party, becoming more socialist day by day, blinds them to the insanity of their politics. These are progressive cities where the citizens march behind liberal leaders like a herd of sheep. It's not like they can't see the carnage, the looting, burnings, and violence. It's obvious to everyone with an IQ higher than Maxine Waters or a water buffalo to see that these so-called protests have nothing to do with saving black lives from the police. In 2019, there were 1,004 police shootings. Only 9 of the 1,004 were black. 0.9% of shootings by police. So BLM is a hoax. On July 7, Joe Biden said the police have become the enemy. If you believe that, then you vote Democrat. These are gangs of anarchists who are being paid to create mayhem in our cities. This is their job. The number of average black citizens not on the payroll is minuscule. There are more white college-age brats in the crowds who have been indoctrinated to hate America in our schools than blacks. Shockingly, an increasing number of these useful idiots are young, college-age white women. In some of these protests, it is harder to find a black face among the embattled white crowd than it is to find a frog leg in a box of Colonel Sanders' chicken. Clearly, we have a generation of gullible whites whose parents failed the test. These coddled young people have no concept of reality. They are not successful. They've never done anything. And they have no idea what it takes to build or maintain a free country. They have been fed lofty ideals about destroying our system and building it back based on socialism and communism. The closest they have actually come to seeing socialism up close and personal is when they poured Russian dressing on their salad or attended a Bernie Sanders rally. Their real-world knowledge is a mile wide and a quarter inch deep. I can remember a time when parents actually disciplined their children. Granted, it was a time ago, but as a young boy, I knew that when my teacher sent a note home describing my misconduct, my parents were going to side with the teacher and the seat of my pants would get a dusting. Today, that would bring in social workers and separation of families. Children caught on to this change quickly, and they're not afraid to threaten their parents about calling social services on them, should they be disciplined. I also remember a time in America before political correctness eviscerated much of our language and sought to erase or revise our history. Today, asking a woman out on a date is aggression, and opening her car door denotes you as a male superiority freak. Placing a hand on someone's arm is deemed an assault. All civilizations have speed bumps and scars. Sadly, the only civilization that is being held accountable for its mistakes is America. Slavery is a good example. The United States is only 244 years old, and slavery dates back more than 7,000 years. It began in Africa and eventually spread from there to North America. No one living in the United States today was ever a slave or a slave owner. No one suggests that black individuals be traced back to the blacks who enslaved their own people in Africa and sold them to slave traders. Why should the descendants of those black African slavers not pay reparations to the families of those they sold into slavery? Should black people in America today be held responsible for the African headhunters of old, or those African cannibals who ate missionaries? It's a silly argument, but no sillier than demanding that white people, who never owned a slave, pay reparations to black people who were never slaves. We will never solve this racial division until we resolve to put the issue of slavery behind us. Slavery, as despicable as it was not the only atrocity committed in our world. To continue beating that dead horse does none of us any good. The issue before us is how to help black America begin to reunite their family structure and give black children fathers in their home. Giving individuals money is not the answer, especially if that money is taken from people who do not owe it. Black or white, we need to accept adult responsibility and stop turning our children against one another based on skin color. Young black children are taught to fear the police, even though more than 90% of law enforcement is there to serve and protect them. If a child is told often enough that someone or something is a danger to them, how are they supposed to respond? Children, black and white, should be taught the evils of slavery, but should not carry the blame for it throughout their entire life. The less we talk about race, the better off we are. The internet is filled today with videos of young black men and black women randomly attacking innocent white people they don't even know, sucker punching elderly people for the crime of having a white skin, gangs of young black thugs singling out a white person to viciously attack, even set them on fire. Should white parents turn their children against all black people because of those fringe thugs? Children are not born to hate. Somebody has to teach them that. Groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa anarchists are glorified on television, and young people get enthralled with them. Now, I don't personally have a problem with removing statues and monuments that are found to be offensive. But who's going to make those decisions? The mob? And where does it end? The media has resisted telling you that Nancy Pelosi's own father helped dedicate a Confederate monument honoring Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson on May 2, 1948. Her father accepted the monument. So where's the outrage against Pelosi for what her ancestor did? I've pointed out that Nelson Mandela was considered a hero, but Mandela and his followers killed a lot of people in hideous ways. Should the good he did be forgotten in a mad mob rush to tear down statues or monuments to him for those atrocities? Trying to hold the people today responsible for the sins of their ancestors is like trying to eat Jell-O with a fork. You can never get to the bottom of it all. How does having separate events for black people, like proposed black state fairs, black farmers markets, black-only beauty contests, and the like, bring us together? Wasn't that the idea behind ending white superiority? It's interesting to watch protesters marching with signs calling for equality, while at the same time supporting events that are for whites or blacks only. And while I'm at it, it's time to call out slimy politicians like Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, who have used the COVID-19 virus as a bludgeon against Donald Trump. Pelosi never had much honor, but her latest charge of the coronavirus being the Trump virus strips her of any honor at all. And who in the world wants to think of Nancy Pelosi being stripped. Biden pops up from his cellar hideaway occasionally to pretend that the riots and burning buildings in American cities are peaceful protests. And the mainstream media refuses to question the absurdities. In a recent staged interview, Biden got more softballs thrown to him than a six-year-old playing t-ball. Given a chance to say what he would do as president that isn't already being done by Donald Trump, Biden stuttered and stammered before coming out with seven things that he would do. All seven have been done by Trump already. Democrats don't seem to understand that in their blind stampede towards socialism, they consistently underestimate the intelligence of the American people. Over just the last 12 years, the Democrat Party has presented presidential candidates like Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, and now Joe Biden. They have reached the bottom of the barrel, unless they can find Attila the Hun's grandson somewhere under there. Many of us may not be living when the complete and true story of Barack Hussein Obama is uncovered. Democrats made up a man from whole cloth and got him elected, even though he admitted that he would stand with Islam against America, and proceeded to bring radical Islamists into his administration. Obama cared for America the way Cain cared for Abel. Even after leaving office, Obama has tried to engineer a coup against this sitting president. In the interest of fairness, I have to confess that the Republican Party has not offered us better alternatives at election time. They put up people like John McCain and Mitt Romney. Many of us held our noses and voted for McCain and Romney because we saw them as the lesser of two evils. But that should not be the criteria for electing a president. I can salute John McCain for his military service and courage as a captive in Vietnam. But that's where my admiration ends. As a politician, McCain was a double-crosser and a backstabber. He was an inflated ego walking the halls of Congress. Senator Jesse Helms once told me that the best way to be severely injured was to get in between John McCain and a TV camera. As for Mitt Romney, he managed to hide his true character behind the cloak of the Mormon religion. Mormons are thought by many to be of high character. But if that is the criteria for a Mormon, Mitt Romney is no Mormon. Recently, he has shown his true colors. Romney is not a Republican conservative and never has been. He is a small-minded, vindictive man who hates the President of the United States. Romney had no qualms about coming to Donald Trump for help in getting elected to the Senate from Utah, and Trump endorsed this petty man, only to see Romney get elected and then turn on the president like a crazed hippo on an unarmed traveler. Any respect for Mitt Romney is ill-placed. By running McCain and Romney against the Democrats, the Republicans assured the election of Barack Hussein Obama. Sadly for Hillary Clinton, the shoe was on the other foot. The Democrat Party was swinging to the far left, and Clinton was caught in the middle, as Biden is today. The Democrat Party today is hell-bent on bringing down America as we know it and imposing socialism upon us. I can hear rank-and-file Democrats now saying how they disagree with that and that they don't want a socialist government. That may well be true, but the leadership of your party does want it. And if you give them back power, you won't matter. What you think doesn't matter. When is the last time Democrat leadership consulted you? Joe Biden has accomplished little or nothing while occupying a congressional seat for decades. Still, the Democrat Party has no better candidate to run against Donald Trump in 2020. Hillary is last year's garbage, and their cupboard is bare. They are in a dilemma. No rational person believes that Joe Biden has full control of his mental faculties. He was never the brightest bulb in the lamp, but now the filaments have burned out. He readily admits that it is iffy as to whether or not he could even serve a full term. So why are Democrats trying to push this feeble man into office? Biden has been drugged to the socialist left by the new party leaders like Bernie Sanders, Ocasio-Cortez, and Ilhan Omar. Their socialist agenda is now his stated agenda. Biden would have less control in the Oval Office than a weak dam in a tsunami. These radical socialist Democrats are positioning a replacement for Biden, even as they push to get him elected. They intend to have socialism control the American people. Standing in the way is the re-election of Donald Trump. What Trump has accomplished in less than 4 years is remarkable. Even more remarkable when you consider that he's had to run this race with demonic Democrats on his back and a dishonest media planting tripwires along the track. Like Trump or hate Trump, no American president has ever had to try and govern with such hate and animosity directed toward them. I am the first to admit that Donald Trump is brash, intemperate, and sometimes his own worst enemy. He cannot seem to let personal slights pass by without lashing out. He admitted that he was not a seasoned politician who had spent his life learning to duck and weave in deceptive politics. He has made it easier for the media to twist his words and take them out of context. As a career politician, Donald Trump gets a C-. But as an effective president, he rates an A. Michael Jordan was not a perfect human being, but as a basketball player, he was the greatest of all time. He got the job done like no other. That's how I see Donald Trump. As a human being, I see his flaws, but as a man who gets things done in an infested political swamp, he deserves our respect and re-election. This contest in November is not and should not be a personality contest. If it was, both candidates would fail. It is about picking the candidate who has demonstrated that he can move America forward. And that candidate is Donald Trump. It would be humorous, if not so serious, to listen to Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer talk about how they can cure our country's ills. Collectively, these three Democrat politicians have been in Washington on the people's payroll for more than 125 years. To suggest that they suddenly have the answer to our problems is ludicrous. They created our problems with their inept, bumbling mismanagement. So I submit to you today that Donald Trump, with all of his human flaws, deserves re-election. It's not a party thing for me. It's common sense. Thank you for listening today. I usually spend numerous hours gathering research for my weekly commentaries, but today I just felt like sharing random thoughts off the top of my head. You are free to agree or disagree, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on my thoughts. Email me at comments@tomjoyner.net. That's comments@tomjoyner.net. Take a minute to share your opinions. I value what you think. And I'll be back again this weekend, God willing. Same time, same station. And God bless America.